Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And welcome back to Overnight America, 1106 in St. Louis, Missouri. Make sure to follow on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast, KMOX.com. Friend of the show, one of the great sports broadcasters, Chris Raby. How are you, Chris?
What's going on, buddy?
You know what I learned about you today? Well, no, yesterday. During the meeting, they gave you a shout-out here at Intercom when the bigwigs were in town. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, they mentioned you're doing some stuff for the radio.com, and you're a sports contributor, and you're someone that's well-respected in the community there. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a cool thing that Intercom is doing now with radio.com, sports insiders, some national people and some local people. And yeah, it's been fun, man. I've found that, especially when you work in a market like St. Louis and you're around the Cardinals or the Blues, people always want to talk to you. So yeah, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. So the Blues and the Stars Enterprise Center tomorrow night, 8:30 is when the puck drops. You're going to hear it here on KMOX. I wanted to get some of your impressions of what we should be looking for when the Blues take on the Stars.
I think a close series. Obviously, two teams that know each other really well. You know, Dallas won 3 of 4 this season, and I think the kind of interesting thing is that, you know, two of those three wins came when the Blues were playing really, really well. But I don't know how much you take from those matchups, just because this season for the Blues was so interesting, and the Blues faced them a couple of times with some guys out. And just the way that this year has gone and the way the Stanley Cup playoffs have gone, you know, I feel like you can't really bank on anything. I think the Blues in Winnipeg were very, very close by virtue of, you know, how well they know each other. I feel like Dallas and Nashville the same way, Winnipeg and Nashville the same way last year. So, you know, I expect a really, really close series. I guess one of the big questions is how much will home ice matter after it didn't matter at all in the first round against the Jets?
Yeah, that's true. And there's a lot of pumped up fans. This is going to be a really big goaltending matchup between the two teams. Both are playing extremely well.
Yeah, Binnington obviously has been one of the stories of the NHL since he took over back on January 7th and made his first start in Philadelphia. And then St. Louis and Ben Bishop has been, you know, incredible. He's obviously a guy who has done it before. He's got the hardware. He has been to the mountaintop, and he led the NHL in save percentage over the regular season. So he's a big guy. He is a very, very active. He is, I think, just as a hockey fan, a lot of fun to watch. And, yeah, two goaltenders that are both playing really well. Bishop ended the season on a really, really high note as well. I mean, he had 4 shutouts in his last 7 full games that he played. He missed some time in the middle of March with a lower body injury, but, you know, it didn't seem to slow him down at all.
And I watched, too, of just how sometimes these players can feed off of each other. And I look at Bishop, who is a hometown guy, and he's going to feed off of the starts here in St. Louis, I'm sure, which will elevate his game. I think Binnington wants to prove himself, so I think that'll elevate his game, too. I mean, we're, I think, up for a real big matchup between these two.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch some of the best go head-to-head when the stage is the biggest. And I know that it's not technically Ben Bishop and Jordan Binnington going head-to-head, but you know, a goaltender can swing a game or swing a playoff series. I certainly think we saw Jordan Binnington swing, you know, the Blues season once he got into the net. I think he is pretty much the reason why the Blues are where they are right now. They have kind of taken on his personality, his swagger, and his production. So, yeah, I can't wait to see, you know, a couple of games that Binnington was just I mean, every game, but really a couple of moments that he was just unreal and really kind of helped the Blues win that series against the Jets. And, you know, for Bishop as well, I'm sure it's going to be a great matchup.
Chris Raby joining us here on Overnight America. Now, I don't know if there's ever been a goalie fight in the playoffs. That could be a fun head-to-head right there.
Who in the playoffs? I don't know. But
I've never seen it.
Definitely had the Curtis Joseph, Tim Shevel day. Yeah.
Ooh, there's some really great goalie fights, historically speaking, but they're rare enough that they stand out. So let's say
actually, Jordan Binnington fought, and you can ask Mike Anderson, did he fight Phoenix Copley? Like the two former teammates like a year ago in the AHL?
Say that again, producer Mike. Can you come on real quick? You said there was one person that came to mind that he fought. Who was it?
Well, the Stars.
No. Didn't Binnington in the AHL like last year fight Phoenix Copley?
He's checking right now. He's double checking. And
yeah,
the AHL.
They were teammates. So Phoenix Copley was acquired by the Blues and they traded TJ Oshie to Washington for Troy Brower and Copley, and he was in the Blues organization. Then they traded him back to Washington in the Kevin Shattenkirk deal. And I think Binnington and Copley fought.
Yeah, it looks like December 16th, 2017, when Phoenix
right.
Copley
so when
was
Copley was back, yeah, when he was back in the Caps organization, former teammates who spent a year together, 2016 in Chicago, and then part of 2017, then they fought. So there you go. Jordan Binnington's been known to drop the gloves.
Ooh, okay. Well, now we're going to have to check the Vegas odds of a goalie fight.
Yeah.
That can make you a millionaire overnight, with that, like that guy that bid on, spent like a couple grand on Tiger Woods to win the Masters. No one thought he was going to do it, and the guy ends up being a millionaire. Put some money down on a goalie fight.
No one thought he was going to do it. He was like 12-1. He was like the favorite.
What
do you mean no one thought he was going
to
do it?
Tiger Woods was 12-1?
Yeah, but I think the guy put down $75,000.
Was it that much? Wow. But he ends up winning $1 million off of it or something. It's insane.
Well, yeah, because 75 times 12 is like 1,000.
Wait, 75 times 12, I guess that
would. Well, I think it was 14-1, okay. And he put down 75 grand. So what's 75 times 14?
That's got to be.
That would be 750, 350, 700. That's 1.45 million.
Yeah. Wow. Are you just naturally good at math or just when it comes to adding up money?
No, I mean, I don't have any.
That was impressive.
You can check my math, but I'm good at checking my online banking.
So with
and it's always zero. It's always close to zero.
Oh, man, that's depressing. I know what you mean. You always wait for that next paycheck to drop. So what's the key for St. Louis? What do you think they have to do to adjust to beat a Dallas Stars?
I just think keep playing their game. I know that might sound simple. By the way, I think $1.05 million. I know that's like really simple, but that's what they've done all year. I was talking to Curbs about this earlier tonight. They've never panicked. And whether it's the middle of January or the middle of February when, you know, they've needed to literally win every single game in order to get into the postseason, or if it's game one in Winnipeg when they're down in the third period, or, you know, they're down at home, or they fall behind 2-0 entering the third period of game five with the potential of going back home and facing elimination, they've never wavered and they've stuck to what's gotten them to this point. They've been, I think, just very, very composed, very disciplined. They don't take bad penalties. Like you saw the end of the Sharks Knights game last night. They have done everything that has gotten them to this point, and they've been just unwavering and continuing to play that way.
One other observation before we go, Chris Raby, and the Dallas Stars jerseys are ugly, so I'm glad we at least beat them on that. I think they're one of the ugliest jerseys in the NHL.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a jersey that's been changed like a bunch of times, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's just kind of been like, I don't know, almost like afflictioned. Like they just keep changing it over and over and tweaking it and adding like more stripes and more accents and, you know, sometimes less is more.
Yeah, it's an ugly color with an ugly logo on top of it. We better not lose to him. Chris Raby, I'm so glad you joined us here. Thanks for coming on, breaking down the Blues and Stars matchup that begins tomorrow night.
Yeah, buddy, hopefully we're talking tomorrow night about the Blues winning game one.
Oh, man, I'm going to be playing Gloria for an hour straight if they win. I think
there
that's going to be the next thing. All right, thanks, Chris.
Thanks, man. Talk to you guys.
That was Chris Raby in a big matchup. You're not going to want to miss their broadcast tomorrow night. 8 o'clock is when the pregame starts. 8:30 puck drop here on KMOX. Game one of the second round between the Blues and the Dallas Stars right here at Enterprise Center in downtown St. Louis. All right, coming up next is Becky Lomax. She's someone that wrote a book about national parks across the United States. And if you've ever wanted to travel or maybe visit a couple of national parks, this is going to be a great one for you on Overnight America KMOX.
Local news from St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather station, KMOX.
And joining us now is a parks expert, also a former outdoors guide with the new book called USA National Parks, The Complete Guide to All 59 Parks. Becky Lomax, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for inviting me.
Beautiful parks. I got to ask about the cover alone. Where was that picture taken?
Oh, that cover is from Grand Teton National Park. It's String Lake with the Tetons right behind it.
Wow, it's beautiful. There's a lot of... You know, there's so many beautiful sites in the United States to visit and to experience for yourself. I'm someone that doesn't travel a lot, but I tell my wife, if we ever do go on vacations, I don't think I ever want to leave the United States. There's so many great places to see here that I just want to travel and see all the things in this country first.
Well, there are certainly some amazing places. I mean, where do you see places like the Grand Canyon? You know, you look down this 5,000-foot deep chasm is just incredible.
So you look at national parks, and I was curious, too, because, you know, there's some parks and things like, you know, the Gateway Arch is, I think, technically a national park. But what met the qualifications for the parks you were looking at?
Well, actually, that's a very good question. The ones that have the official title, National Park, are the ones we took for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as soon as we went to print with the book, that's when Gateway Arch became a national park.
Oh, really?
Yes! So, what people can do with Gateway Arch is we have that chapter online at moon.com, and they can go download that chapter.
Oh,
they
that's nice.
They'll have it. It's like, it'll be in the next edition of the book, but that's down the road a ways, you know.
Well, I wanted to, first thing I did, I open up the book and I flip around. I'm like, oh, cool, let's see. Wait a minute. And then, what's cool, too, is you break it down by different regions. And being that we're here right in the, almost in the center with, you know, the Gateway to the West, we're in St. Louis, Missouri. What are some of the closest national parks we could check out from here?
I think, well, besides Gateway Arch, the closest for St. Louis is Mammoth Cave. And, you know, that's the longest known cave system in the world. And you can go to it, and they have about, I want to say about 12 different types of tours you can go on. Anything from there's a super easy tour through the cave, and they're all ranger-led. And so you get explanations of what you're looking at, why you go look at them. And then it's some of the more difficult ones, you're kind of on your hands and knees and scrambling
in
pretty tight places.
Are you brave enough to do that?
Well, I love going in caves, but, you know, when it starts getting really tight, that's when I kind of think, ooh, I hope there's no earthquake right now.
I can't do it. I'm just too nervous. Even thinking about it, I get a little bit nervous. You know? Well, that's fun. And I think there's a lot of interest when it comes to family vacations. National parks are great locations. Like, you could go there and you can experience something that you really can't experience where you live. But it just, there's so many different, I don't know if flavors is the right word, but there's so many different experiences you can have at different locations. It's like they're all unique in their own ways.
Totally. Yeah. And I love your word flavor because that is what, it, you know, they are each a different unique thing going on, and while you can find some, you know, a few similarities between some of them, they all have these just ultra unique features that make you want to go and do that particular thing, see that particular thing.
Yeah.
Do that, you know, it's scenic drive in, you know, say Rocky Mountain National Park, because you can drive up to 12,000 feet, and most people don't get that high in their lives because it's, you know, you have to hike or climb to do it. But there, you can drive up that high. you get out of the car and you can't breathe because you're at high elevation. You take six steps and you're exhausted.
Yeah. The book is called USA National Parks, The Complete Guide to All 59 Parks, and author Becky Lomax joining us. So let's say we're planning a trip and we check out the caves. So we go from St. Louis, we check out some caves. Where do we go to after that if we're trying to maybe plot out a road trip from where we are?
Well, you know, if you're going to do Mammoth Cave, you can make a wonderful loop that drops from Mammoth Cave down to Great Smoky Mountains National Park and then go up the Blue Ridge Parkway to Shenandoah National Park and then loop back to St. Louis.
Mm.
So it's a way to take, that's a good three-park loop there, and then connected, of course, by the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Awesome. That's a good idea. What I love, too, about this book, at the very back end, there's a physical map, and it's one you can take out and you can put in your car. I remember any time I traveled with my dad, you better believe he had no less than three maps in his car. So he always had, because we lived in Michigan, he always had Michigan, he had Ohio in case we went south, and then he always had just a general map of the United States. And then if we're traveling somewhere else, like let's say we're driving through Pennsylvania to New Jersey or something to visit family, add more maps into that. So the physical map is something that I miss. I don't think we ever had a car that didn't have multiple maps in there. So to see that again, it made me happy. It brought some joy to me to see a physical map.
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, from a trip planning perspective, having all those parks laid out on that map, you can easily see, well, these couple parks are really close, so that maybe I can string a loop trip together between them. Or you can see, oops, I can't do these two together because one's on one side of the country and one's on the other side. It's pretty visual to be able to kind of see what's going on there.
Yeah, so do you have to get the full experience and pitch a tent and camp, or can you just go and enjoy it and then go stay somewhere else?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can go and enjoy it and stay somewhere else. In many of the chapters, and of course each park has a chapter in the book, in many of those chapters, we have a what to do if you only have one day. So it'll target like the top highlight to go do, whether it be a scenic drive or a boat tour or some sort of hiking trail. It'll basically define for you, here's what to do. And then for the big parks, we target the top three experiences to have when you go to the park. So for those people that don't have a lot of time and you just kind of want to get a flavor and then go stay outside the park somewhere, so you can definitely figure out what you want to do based on that stuff.
Perfect. And all broken down to the different national parks. USA National Parks is the name of the book, and author Becky Lomax joining us. So let's say you're a novice like myself. When I was young, we didn't do a lot of family trips. My dad really loved the outdoors, so we'd go to different parks if we were to travel not always a national park, but we'd do different things like that. We'd go camping. So now that I'm an adult, I haven't gone camping at all. I almost completely forgot what it was like for that experience. It's been so long. So can you give me some of those things I should try to avoid? Any mistakes, like rookie mistakes, if I were to start going to national parks in future vacations?
Well, for camping, yes. You definitely want to check the season before you go, because in some parks, like the Northern Rockies, Yellowstone Grand Teton, Glacier, you don't want to go there in winter to go camping because there's feet of snow on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So make sure you check the seasons. The other thing is, with many of the national parks, camping inside the park has gotten so popular that it's really a great idea to get reservations for those campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. Reservations usually open up 6 months in advance at recreation.gov, and it's a good idea to get those reservations, because if you wait to the last minute, you may not be able to get a campsite in the park, and you might have to go outside the park to camp.
Gotcha.
And I might add, too, a lot of the parks have lodges inside the park that you can stay at.
Hmm.
And those are awesome places to stay. say. You know, they've got all the amenities. They've got, you know, hot showers.
Yeah.
And nice comfy beds and all that kind of stuff. And you're dry and you don't have to worry about rain.
Yeah.
But the thing about those that you want to do is make sure you get your reservations a year in advance for those.
I see. So they book up that quickly.
They do. And once they open the reservations, a lot of them go super fast.
Wow. Probably another tip, too. Don't go during a government shutdown. Is that a good tip? Or is that a tip that you don't have to worry about?
That's a great tip. Although, you know, some of the parks stayed open.
Oh, yeah.
I live right outside of Glacier Park, and it stayed open during the shutdown. But, of course, most of the roads in the park were, you know, are buried under snow. So the only thing we could do would be ski and snowshoe, really.
Yeah. If you thought about doing some traveling, checking out the national parks, this is a must-have book. From Becky Lomax, USA National Parks, the complete guide to all 59 parks, plus one extra if you go to moon.com with the Gateway Arch National Park there. We're going to continue our conversation with her next on KMOX.
This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I've always thought about traveling to visit some national parks. I think when my son gets a little bit older, he's really going to enjoy things like this. So if you want to get an idea of what to expect from each national park, some of the different experiences there, this is an awesome guide. Becky Lomax is the author of USA National Parks. We'll continue our conversation. What's the largest national park in the United States?
It's in Alaska, and it's Wrangell St. Elias Park, and it's monstrous. Mm-hmm. It's like about, I want to say, about 7 to 8 million acres.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like you could put, 2.5 Yellowstones into that.
Wow. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
How do you even manage that much land?
Well, so much of that is wilderness.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's two roads that go into the park, and the rest of it is pretty much wilderness. So it doesn't get a lot of people in the wilderness sections, that's for sure.
Wow. So what are your favorite parks, personally, the ones that you enjoy the most?
Oh, I always enjoy whichever park I'm at the moment. But
yeah, of course.
But, you know, when I was up in Denali, I was in heaven. You know, the wildlife watching up there, the walking through the alpine tundra, seeing that, you know, the tallest peak in North America just sitting there at the end of the valley was impressive. And, you know, another one, when I backpacked for 10 days through the Grand Canyon, that just, of the geology there, I was in awe. Because those cliffs down there are just so amazing. The colors and the wash across the cliffs with the, you know, how the rain and the water dripping down kind of leaves these interesting little colors and marks and stuff. That was an amazing trip.
Wow. You know, what's the most mosquito bites you've ever had?
I don't know. I never count.
Well, there's got to be some trips. By the time you're done, you're thinking, there's not enough of that lotion to put on me because I just got bit like crazy.
Yeah, well, you know what I've resorted to because I do so much hiking. Mm-hmm. I've gone to wearing long sleeves and long pants.
You just have to, right?
Yes. If it's that mosquito-y, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Just to keep as much skin covered up as you possibly can.
The book is called USA National Parks, and author Becky Lomax joining us here on KMOX. What do you think about, like, drones? I know there's technology people bring to the parks, and they want to get these beautiful shots. Do you think they might detract from some of it, or do you think maybe people are using them responsibly so it doesn't really detract?
Well, guess what? People were not using them responsibly, and they got outlawed in the national parks.
Oh, so all of the national parks, none of that?
Correct.
Wow, I didn't know.
I believe it's all of them.
Yeah.
I know all the big ones, like, you know, Yellowstone, somebody crashed one right into one of the hot springs.
Ugh, of course. That's terrible.
You can't retrieve that stuff when it's in there.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, I know there's some company, commercial companies, photography companies, every once in a while can get a special permit to do something, to use one. But, because I know the movie Free Solo that came out, I believe they used some drones in that to photograph some of the climbing.
Oh, yeah, interesting. All right, so if people want to check out your book, what's the best place for them to go to?
Well, the easiest place is just go to moon.com, and then that can let you know what bookstores carry it. But pretty much any of the big online retailers carry the book, and many of the independent bookstores carry it, too.
I heard this is recommended by buffaloes and mooses all across the country as well. USA National Parks and author Becky Lomax, the website moon.com, M-O-O-N, and you can find out where to pick up this wonderful book. Do it just for the map in the back alone. Becky, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
It was fun. I'm getting yelled at by my producer. Producer Mike over there is like, is it mooses? Is that right? Or is it just moose? Mooseys? Moosies? What would be the plural of moose? You have to look that up.
It's moose.
It is just straight moose? Okay, now I know. It's not mooses. I kind of like the term mooses myself.
I like meese.
You like meese? That'd be a cool band. Would you like to go see the meese?
I would like to...
check out meese this weekend.
I would like to know an ant moose who has meese-niece. A meese-niece.
It's hurting my head trying to figure that out. So an ant moose with a niece? Meese?
If I was a moose, even as an uncle, I could have meese niece.
You could?
Yeah.
That reminds me of an old joke. You ready for an old dad joke? So stupid.
I could produce this show and not be ready for old dad jokes.
Here's an old dad joke. This is so dumb. Talking about family like that. So, woman comes over, and she's got family from the old country, and she's about to go into labor. The husband's at work, can't make it to the hospital, and she's freaking out. She doesn't want to go into labor and give birth to her twins. So she calls her brother over from the old country. Hey, come with me. I don't want to go to the hospital alone. So she goes in and they have to put her under. They do the C-section and the babies come out. And they ask the uncle, well, what are the names of the babies? Do you know? And so basically she comes to and the nurse says, well, your brother was luckily here, told us the name of the babies. Oh, that's wonderful. So what did he say? He said, okay, so here's the girl. This is Denise. Oh, that's a wonderful name for a baby. What's the boy's name? The nephew. Denise and the nephew.
Let's go to break.
Did I tell that one right?
Where's Bobo when you need him?
Yeah, did I tell that one right? You're not laughing. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Producer Mike, you want to try to do another karaoke surprise song? I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but you can try it if you want. All right, I'll give you a clue. TMZ recently posted a photo of Nicolas Cage at a karaoke bar singing an emotional rendition of a very famous Prince song, Purple Rain. And if anyone knows the song Purple Rain, you probably know that it's not always the fastest or easiest song to sing, but for some reason, man, when Nick Cage does it, he really got into it. I thought I saved it here, but I guess I didn't. So he was in, where was it, Korean Town or something like that, LA's Korean Town, and he was like, whew, hard to get through it. And I thought to myself, I don't even know if I know the words to Purple Rain. I'm way past this. How many words do you think you would know, Producer Mike, if I were to play Purple Rain here?
Zero.
You know the song, though, at least, right?
I heard it a couple times after his passing, his unfortunate passing.
I think they finally just released the autopsy results from that. It took a long time for that to happen. Here you go. I never meant to call you any sorrow. Is this the type of song you'd pick for karaoke?
If you know the words, sure, why not?
You'd look pretty good in a purple suit. I don't even know what he said there. Purple rain. You could have got $4 right there if I give you a dollar for every word. You probably make bank on a song like this.
Well, I'm sure Charlie's about to call in.
Well, the thing is, with a song like this, they just repeat Purple Rain so many times. This would be a pretty good one to guess the lyrics to. All right, so you haven't got one word yet.
I don't know the song.
No guessing any of the words?
I don't even know when words are coming and when they're not.
All right, so what would be the perfect karaoke song for you? What would I have to cue up?
There's so many. I can't think of one song that I know.
What if I dress like Prince? Do you think that would go over in this building?
Yeah, we'd have to get our webcams back, though. Purple rain.
What a weird guy, that Prince. Wouldn't he have been interesting to sit down and talk to? Purple rain. Do you think they would play this in middle school dances in the 80s?
Yes.
Is this a song you would slow dance to, or is it not? I don't even know what this means. What does Purple Rain mean, anyway? You know what happened to Nick Cage, right? So he was in Las Vegas or something. He says he was super drunk, like sloppy super drunk. Gets married to a woman by the name of Erica Koki and then filed for divorce 4 days later. Now, she says she wants full spousal support for their 4 days married. He says he was too drunk and this is not good. So there we go. All right, so Purple Rain, man. Maybe I don't know all the lyrics to it. Yeah, maybe Charlie up in Minnesota is listening right now. Charlie, do you want to give Purple Rain a shot? So one of my favorite moments on the show is when Charlie called in and was trying to sing the lyrics to, what song was it?
Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen. I wish, I don't know if I have that readily available. I should save that so we can play it at any given time. I just had so much fun with that. Still not as good as Proofreading Host, which may be the greatest song ever sung on this radio program.
What's the name of your band again?
Mike Anderson and the Rock Bottom Producers.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Something like a host with a beautiful mindset. Something like a host with a pretty voice. I like a host with a big vocabulary, and it's a good thing you can't see his face. I stay up for my host, Ryan Recker. I stay up for Overnight America. But the biggest secret is the show would be a snoozer if it wasn't for the world's best producer.
That might have been the greatest song ever performed on late night radio. Any station at any time ever. You know, unless Prince himself were to walk into a studio and start performing Purple Rain, I can't think of a better thing that you could be playing right now. Oh, how about this? I don't know if you saw this from The Sun. We got to be careful the things we do around the office anymore because everything's considered sexual harassment. So there's a story in the UK where the administrators there in the HR department, and there's one consultant by the name of Kate Palmer for the company Peninsula, says that handshakes could be the next banned thing in workplaces because they're afraid that any human contact, even handshakes, is enough to constitute sexual harassment claims. So they say out of the abundance of caution, might as well try to eliminate anything that could be considered sexual harassment. You know what the strange thing is about handshakes being on that list? Have you ever grabbed someone's hand, like force them to handshake you? Normally it takes their willingness to put their hand up and shake your hand, unless they got their hands down by their side and you're grabbing their hand right off their body. Oh, then that's weird, but that never happens. So if someone raises their hand to you and you raise their hand back and then you make contact with the hand and you shake it up and down for, I don't know, what's the proper amount of time? 3 to 5 seconds? Normally anything after 5 seconds is a little weird. And then you got to give a little squeeze, like when you know it's about to go away. Like you don't want to do it too short or too long, and you want to get a nice firm handshake in there. And if you're a guy with another guy, you want to make sure you do it a little extra harder to let them know that, hey, you still got the grip going, right? You know, you don't want to make it look like you got a soft handshake. So you go in there, and you don't want to go crushing either. I have some pretty serious PSI on these hands, man. I can crush like you wouldn't believe. You would think that in my free time, all I do is like, you know, those little two little plastic handles and it's got the coiled metal in between. You kind of like, all you do is try to work on your grip that way. You would think in my free time, that's all I do is that. That's how I'm able to crush things.
I think that's why you crushed the mic arm the other night.
I did. I broke the mic arm right in half. The metal piece broke into it. And then I get a note from our engineer. Why don't you settle down, Hulk? Be careful there, Hulk. And you know what they decided to do? They decided to look at all the other mic arms just to see if it was just my strength that broke the thing off or if it was just the wear and tear. You know what they found? All the other mics were in pristine condition. It was only the overnight host that breaks them. Do you know that? I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just making that up. So they do mention that things like pats on the back on a construction site is normally okay. Like you're out there working, you know, oh, good job. Like a little pat on the shoulders or something like that. But in the workplace, anytime you're in an office setting, don't you dare even think about having contact with another human being. You know, it's a little weird. So they say sexual harassment claims can be expensive. It's hard to prove these things. Everyone's all edgy. So maybe they're just going to outlaw handshakes next. That's the way the world goes anymore. Oh, I got a story about my son I want to mention to you from earlier today. Plus, it looks like the Avengers movie is going to just blow the roof off of box office expectations. We're going to get to that next, too. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.